As we are gathered here, Lord, our prayer is that we will not leave here the same. We are not gathered unto any man, but we are gathered unto you. Touch our lives, Lord. Speak to us in a special way in the name of Jesus. We bring our needs before you, Lord. Even as we get ready to have communion, we commit it into your hands, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will experience the resurrection even as we are alive here on earth. Every dead organ in our body will receive life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right. I'm going to talk about the resurrection. And this time we're talking about the resurrection of the believer. As children of God, we know that this is not the only life that we have hope in. We know that once we check out of this earth, we still have hope that we're going to be with God. And this resurrection is something that we have to be familiar with as people of God. We don't talk much about it, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, of eternal judgment." Right, let me just add it to the last two verses. "And if this, and this we will do if God permits." So Paul, encouraging the believers, said to them, that they should go, they should move towards perfection, that they should not limit themselves to the elementary principles of Christ. And he listed what the elementary principles are. Other translations say the foundational principles or fundamental principles. And the fundamental principles Paul listed here are, first, he said, "Let us go on to perfection. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, too, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead." So Paul says that the resurrection of the dead is one of the foundational or fundamental doctrines of Christianity that we all have to be familiar with. As a child of God, one of the things that should anchor your faith in God is that you have hope that this, after this life, you are going to resurrect. It's a foundational doctrine that we all have to understand. That we might have differences in so many doctrines as Christians, but I think one of the places that we all have, we all come to an agreement, or most of us come to an agreement, because these days there are so many other denominations that have come up. But one of the things that we all come into agreement is that when we die, we are going to resurrect again. And this should be a foundational doctrine. It should be something that we accept and we believe and have confidence in, that after this life, we are going to resurrect again. Now, I'm going to touch on a few things that the Bible tells us about resurrection. And I hope that we'll have time to just go into every one of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is Paul making a defense for the resurrection. Because one of the things that was happening in the Corinthian church was that the people were arguing and saying that there's not going to be a resurrection. In fact, there are some people or some religious group these days who do not believe that there's going to be a resurrection. But as Christians, one of the foundational beliefs that we have, one of the building blocks of our faith, is that there's going to be resurrection, that we will resurrect again. And the reason why we have that hope is because Christ resurrected. If Christ could not resurrect, if Christ never came back to life, then we have nothing to boast of, to say that we have hope that we are going to resurrect. But Christ came to this earth, showed us an example of how to live our life on earth, and how our life after this earth is going to look like. And so Christ died, had victory over death, and resurrected. And this is an example to us. Bible says he is the first fruit. If he is the first or the firstborn, it means that there are other people who are going to follow him. And we are those people. And so we have hope of resurrection. In the Corinthian church, there were arguments that there was never going to be a resurrection. Some people argue that there was not going to be a resurrection. And so Paul, building a case for the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says that now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, How do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So there were people who were saying in among the church that there is no resurrection from the dead. And Paul is saying that if we are preaching a Christ who has resurrected from the dead, how is it that some of you in the church are saying there's no resurrection from the dead? So Paul is going to build a case for the resurrection. He says that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And he's saying that those people in the church who are saying that there's no resurrection from the dead, if truly there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty. And our faith is also empty. So if Christ did not resurrect from the dead, and Paul is saying, then what is the point of our preaching? What is the point of our faith? So if some people in the church are arguing that there is no resurrection, and if there is no resurrection, it means Christ never resurrected. And if Christ never resurrected, we have no business being here today. So this is the argument Paul is making to the people in the church who are saying there's no resurrection. And he says, yes, and we have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. Says, if Christ never resurrected, then we are all false witnesses, Paul himself included. Because Paul is saying that he is giving witness to everyone wherever he goes, that Christ has resurrected. And therefore, when you believe in Christ, you have life. And he's saying that if Christ never resurrected, then every witness we are giving about Christ right now is false. And we are all false witnesses. Let me move on to the next verse. He says that for if the dead do not rise again, then Christ is not risen. Am I repeating myself? And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. So this is verse 17. So Paul again repeating the same analogy, trying to explain to the believers. Now, he says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. So he's saying that if Christ never resurrected, that everyone who died as a believer, that is their end. This is Paul still making an argument. And he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. As children of God, if everything we are believing God for is material things, then Paul is saying that among all men, we are the most pitiable. Because a lot of people get these material things without saying a prayer in their life. And there are a lot of rich people who have never said a prayer in their life. There are a lot of rich people who have never read a scripture. Now, there is this guy on social media who goes around telling people he has, I think, $100 bill or something, and says, give me one scripture from the Bible and I'll give it to you. Now, he meets so many people who are not able to tell him just one scripture. And so, I mean, this is just by the way, but what I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who have material things and they don't pray. So Paul is saying, if all we are hoping for on earth is that we'll be able to have a lot of money, we'll be able to buy a big car and a big house, if these are the only things that we are believing God for, then Paul says that we are among men the most pitiable. He says, and if in this life only, it means that if all we are believing God for is to be able to live this life, then amongst all the people, all the denominations, all other people on earth, we are among the most pitiable people. However, we know that we are not believing God for this life only. There is life after this life. And that is one of the core foundations of our faith. That when we die as believers, we are going to resurrect again. Now, the fact that we don't believe God just for things here on earth does not mean that God is not going to bless us with things on earth. Everything on earth was created by God. God is going to bless us with things on earth. However, this is not the only thing we should trust God for. And this morning, we just want to go into the resurrection. And so Paul makes a point and says that, listen, if we are only believing Jesus Christ because of the things that we are going to have here during our lifetime on earth, it is not enough. But we can believe Christ for the afterlife. In verse 20, he says that, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. So Christ rose from the dead. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christ was raised from the dead, and Christ has become the first fruit of all other men who are going to be resurrected from the dead. In the Bible, there were people who were raised from the dead. If you remember the story of a woman, the widow of Nain, whose son died, and Jesus Christ touched the coffin and raised that man from the dead. If you remember the story of Lazarus, of how Christ came to the tomb and spoke to the dead body, the tomb, they opened the tomb and then Lazarus came out. So Lazarus resurrected from the dead. However, all those people who resurrected from the, Dorcas as well, all those people who resurrected from the dead died again. All those people who received that miracle from the resurrection died again. However, this resurrection that we are talking about is a resurrection unto eternal life. And we are never going to die again. And so Paul is saying that, but if Christ is risen from the dead, he has become the first fruit. For since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. We all believe that by the sin of Adam, death came into this world. And that is why we all died. It is easy for everyone to believe that. But the one that is most difficult for people to believe is that through Jesus Christ as well, there is resurrection. If through Adam there was death, then through Jesus Christ, there is resurrection. And so as believers, let us know that we are going to resurrect one day. Now, the resurrection means raising up or standing up. When you look at the Greek word for resurrection, it is anastasis, which means raising up or standing up. It also means raised to life again. It also means standing up again. So resurrection basically is the reuniting of the spirit to the body. When the spirit reunites the body. Now let me first of all explain death. When the spirit departs from the body, then we say the person is dead. Now the reason why we know that the spirit of a man is what sustains the man is because as soon as the spirit departs from the man, the body begins to decay. So your spirit is what sustains your flesh. That is why you have to pay attention to your spirit. Because what actually keeps you going on is your spirit. As soon as the spirit departs, this body begins to decay. And nobody even likes to keep it anymore. We have to go and dump it somewhere. So you need to pay attention to your spirit. I know that we spend time putting lotion on our body and everything, which is good. But spend time feeding your spirit. And the best food you can give to your spirit is the word of God. Do not neglect your spirit. Because your body is sustained by your spirit. Now, when the spirit departs from the body, then a man is dead. So resurrection means that the spirit reunites with the body again. Then the man comes back to life. Lazarus, for instance, the spirit had to come back into Lazarus for his body to start moving. Dorcas, for instance, the spirit had to come back into the body for her body to start moving. And so when the spirit resurrects with the body, when the spirit reunites with the body, then there is resurrection. However, for Christians, we are not going to reunite with this body. We are going to reunite with a glorified body. Now, everyone is going to experience the resurrection. Let me say resurrection. Everyone is going to experience resurrection, both the believer and the unbeliever. However, the believer is going to resurrect with a glorious body. The unbeliever is going to resurrect with the same body. Mm-hmm. Now let's establish that one through scriptures. And so first of all, one of the things I want you to understand is that resurrection is the reuniting of your spirit to your body. This is not like so difficult. It's not too technical. In fact, the Bible says it is one of the foundational doctrines of our faith. And so we have to talk about it. We cannot avoid it. You know, most people want to avoid this topic and just talk about the things that are happening now. But if this is a core foundation of our faith, then we need to talk about it. So let's establish the fact that unbelievers are also going to resurrect, but in a different resurrection. So John chapter 5, verse 28. The Bible says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." Those, first of all, he says, all who are in the grave. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave, he says all. So he doesn't talk about just believers. He says all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And so this is one of the scriptures that supports the fact that both believers and unbelievers are going to resurrect. However, the believers will resurrect to life. The unbelievers will resurrect to condemnation. And this is Jesus speaking. Now, in Acts chapter 22 as well, Paul, making a defense before the king, talks about resurrection. Now, one of the things that we know from scripture is that the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. However, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So there was always a fight, an argument between the Pharisees and then the Sadducees. And Paul, who was trained Pharisee, is now coming to make a defense to the king. And he says that, then he said to them, this is Paul, "The God of our fathers who has chosen you, that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men." Sorry, let me make sure I'm reading. Acts chapter 22 verse 14. Right. Okay, let me read from verse 15. Let me read from my tablet here. Verse 14. "But this I confess to you." Okay, so it's not Acts chapter 22. I'm sorry. I'm shooting the wrong scripture. Okay, let me read from here. "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and in the prophet. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of just and unjust." So Paul is saying that there is going to be a resurrection from the dead, both of the just and unjust. This is Paul. So we have seen two scriptures. We have seen, first of all, Jesus Christ saying that there is going to be a resurrection of the just, or the people who are good, to resurrection of the life, and the people who are evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And Paul is also saying that there is going to be a resurrection of the just and unjust. Now, Revelation chapter 20, a final scripture to support that point, verse 11. This revelation is God showing John what was going to happen in the future, or at the end of the age. Now, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. This is John. John says that, "Then I saw the great white throne." The great white throne is the judgment for sinners. So here, believers will not be here. Only unbelievers will be there. Believers will be judged in the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. Unbelievers will go through the white throne judgment. So everyone who appear here is not a Christian, is not a believer, or did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face
from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was no place found for them. Verse 12. And he exercised all authority over the first. Sorry, I'm having a bit of technical issues this morning. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I like it when you see the scriptures too, so. I'm gonna read from my screen. Okay. All right. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things that they had done. So this is saying that books were open, the great and the small, every dead person resurrected, and they were going to face resurrection, and they were going to face the judgment. So this judgment here, it's a judgment for unbelievers. White throne judgment, it's only unbelievers who will come before that judgment. The believers will go through what we call the Bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment of the believers is a believer's, it's a judgment for rewards. And so you are not going to, God is not going to determine, like most of the times when we see people talking about the judgment, that is not the time when God is going to decide whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. That decision would have been made already. That decision would have been made already. But when you stand before God, when you stand before Christ for judgment, that is a judgment for reward of your works, the things that you did here on earth. And Corinthians tells us that everyone must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that they will be given to them what they did in the flesh. So every work that you have done here on earth, you're going to be rewarded. The Bible says that our works are going to be tried. I think we have to. I don't know if we spoke about works or I preached somewhere about works, but one day we'll talk about works. I think we have, right? Yeah, but we'll talk about it again. The Bible says that our works will go through fire, our works will be tested. And if your work is not able to stand in the fire, it will be burnt. You will not get anything, but you will be saved. Right. And so Christians will go through the Bema seat judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ. This white throne judgment is for unbelievers. And so unbelievers will also resurrect. Their spirit will reunite with their body. However, the Christians will resurrect with a new body. And most of the times I try to imagine how the body is going to look like. And I go to Christ, the things that Jesus Christ did when he resurrected, the things that he was able to do. Last Sunday, we're discussing how he was walking with the people and he vanished. How the disciples were all locked up in a room and he just appeared there. They were locked up, the doors and the windows, everything was locked and he just appeared there. The glorified body is not going to be limited. cannot be limited by anything. And study the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the things that he was able to do. That is the body we are also going to have as believers. And so there is going to be a resurrection from the dead. It is a foundational doctrine of Christianity that there is going to be a resurrection from the dead. Unbelievers are also going to resurrect, but it's a resurrection unto condemnation. But the Bible says Christians and believers are going to resurrect unto life. So when you leave this earth, if you have any loved one who has left this earth, who is a believer, know that one day we are going to meet again. And so Paul, when he was confronted, when he was comforting the believers, he says, I do not want you to be sorrowful beyond measure as people who do not have hope. These are believers who had lost people they love. And Paul says, I don't want you to sorrow beyond measure as people who are without hope. And so if you lose your loved one, Paul is saying that I don't want you to weep and be overly sorrowful as somebody who is without hope. You know, people sometimes hold grudges against God because they have lost their loved ones and they never forgive God. However, if those loved ones are believers and you have the opportunity to communicate with them and ask them, do they want to come back here on earth? I'm sure they will say no. Because they are at a better place. And they are cheering you on. The people that we are crying that we wish they come back, they are also cheering you on that you should join them. They are actually cheering you on. That hold on to your faith. Run the race. I want to meet you here. They don't want to come back. If they are believers, they don't want to come back. If you have the chance to speak to them, I'm sure they don't want to come back. They are at a better place. And that's why Paul was encouraging the believers that do not be sorrowful beyond measure as people who are without hope. And so when you lose your loved one, I know how painful it is to lose your loved one. Sometimes you forget all the scriptures. When you lose your loved one, you forget every scripture, every preaching that you've heard. And it's natural. But Paul says that do not sorrow beyond measure as somebody who is without hope. For we know that if Christ resurrected, then our loved ones who are falling asleep, Paul describes it as falling asleep. He doesn't say they are dead. When a believer leaves this earth, he has fallen asleep. And Paul says that, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are falling asleep. He's talking about the dead, yet he says they have fallen asleep. And so if you are a child of God, if you have any loved one who is a believer, know that they are falling asleep. They are going to wake up one day and we are going to reunite with them. And so those that we wish they never left us, I know the painful part is that we will never see them again. We will never spend time with them again. We will never have conversations with them again. And that is the painful part. That is the loss we are all feeling. But Paul says that do not sorrow beyond measure as those. He says, concerning those who are falling asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. So let's not sorrow as unbelievers. When you weep and you go through the pain over the people you have lost, encourage yourself with the fact that one day we'll meet them again. And they are at a better place. They wouldn't want to come back. They are cheering you on rather that you will come and join them. Paul says that for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Everyone who has slept in Christ means everyone who is dead and they are a believer. Bible says God will bring them again with him. This is so important, knowing that the resurrection is going to be a longer span of life than this life that we are living. If we have any preparation to do, we have to prepare for the resurrection. The life we are living now is a rehearsal for the resurrection. And that is why we need to hold on to our faith. As Revelation warns us, anyone who endures to the end will be saved. Let's not take life for granted that this is the life we only have. I remember one day witnessing to somebody, he was into Hinduism or something like that. And I was telling him that what is your hope of the resurrection? What is the hope, their hope of afterlife? He told me that this life is already good enough.
let's not worry about the next life. But if you understand that the next life is eternal, then you should worry about it. Because this life, let's say God blesses you and you live 100 years, cannot be compared to eternity. Eternity is forever. So Paul wrote to the believers, he says, the people who are falling asleep in Christ, God will bring with him those who are falling asleep. He says, for this I say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the Lord's coming will by no means precede those who are asleep. So Paul, at the time Paul was writing, he was alive. So he's saying that we, those who are alive and remain at the coming of Jesus Christ. Of course, at the coming of Jesus Christ, there are some people who will be alive. Sometimes we think that, oh, it will not be my time. It will not be my time. Christ will come when I'm not here. And so I can do anything I want. However, whichever generation will be alive will also be thinking the same way we are thinking now. So it might be our generation that he will come. So the point is that let's just get ready anytime for his coming. At every excuse that you have now, the generation which will be alive at the coming of Jesus Christ, they will also have the same excuse. And so let's assume it's our generation and let's just get ready. Now, he says that, for we who are alive and remain until his coming will not precede those who are asleep. It means we are not going to go before them. We are not going to go ahead of them. However, he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Paul is talking again about the resurrection. He says the dead in Christ, they will rise up again. The dead in Christ will rise first. So they will come first. And then he says that then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that shall we be. So we, those who are alive, will be caught up in the air. And this is talking about the rapture. That we will be caught up in the air with them. But the dead in Christ will resurrect. They will resurrect. They will not resurrect unto the decayed body, but they will resurrect unto a new body. And then 1 Corinthians also give us a little detail about what is going to happen to those who are alive. He says that in the twinkle of an eye, we are going to be transformed. We are all going to be transfigured. We are all going to be changed. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some people ask questions that, well, if you're saying that people are going to resurrect, which body are they going to resurrect with? And this was some of the questions that the people in the church were asking. The people in the Corinthian church were asking that if you are saying that there's going to be resurrection, then how are people going to resurrect? Seeing that when we bury people, they will just, their body will decay and form part of the earth. In fact, some people even elect to be burnt. So these people had a good question here. They are saying that if you are saying that there is going to be a resurrection, then which body are people going to resurrect with? And look at Paul's answer to them. He says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Paul says, foolish one, what you sow is not made. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. So Paul's answer to the people who are saying, one of the arguments they were making against resurrection is that, well, when we bury people, their body gets decayed. So which body are they going to resurrect with? And Paul says it's a foolish discussion. It's a foolish argument that he gives an example that when you sow something to the ground, what body does it come up with? You put one grain of corn to the ground, but it comes up with a different body, and so many other grains will come from that one grain. And Paul says that grain that you put on the earth, it died, but it had a fresh body. And so he's using that as an example here. And he says, what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain. He says that, so when you sow something, it is not the same thing that you harvest, but you harvest something else with a different body. And so if you are saying that if God is able to give a different body to the plants that you sow, how much more God is able to give a different body to the human beings he has created. And so Paul is saying that for the people who are saying that because the body will perish here on earth, there's not going to be a resurrection. What body are they going to resurrect with? Paul is saying it's a foolish argument. Because even when you sow things, it comes out again with a different body. I'm just going to wrap up now so that we can have our communion. And so, Paul, let me just jump to verse 40. Paul says there. Okay, verse 38. He says, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So the things that we sow on earth, God gives it a different body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. So then he says, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the terrestrial body, terrestrial one, is, and the glory of the, I'm sorry, the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the sun, another glory of the stars. I'm trying to read very fast. Let me take my time. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, another glory of the stars, and one star differs from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised incorruptible. So the body is sown in corruption, however, it will be raised incorruptible. And Paul moves on further. When you have time today, this week, please read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's a good defense for the resurrection. You cannot talk about the resurrection and leave out the scripture. Let me just read one more scripture and use that one to close. Right, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. I'm just going to read this one and then close. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know how, this is a controversial statement, but you know how people normally say that everybody's going to die? You know, people say that, And they use the scripture, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that judgment. Now this scripture also says that, behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. Paul making a statement saying that we shall not all sleep, we shall not all die. But he's saying that some people are going to be transformed. Some people are going to be transfigured. Those who are alive at the second coming of Jesus Christ, they are not going to taste death. The believers who are alive are going to be transfigured. So they are not going to die. Let me not go into that. That's for another day. But Paul says that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So Paul is saying that the believers will be changed, will be transformed. Our body will be transfigured. We'll put on the glorified body. And so if you are a child of God, have this confidence. If Jesus Christ resurrected, then we are going to resurrect again. Let this be the foundation of your faith. Let this be your hope that after this life, there is life for you. There is resurrection for you. We are going to resurrect again. We are going to receive glorified bodies. Yes, and with a glorified body, we can still identify the people that we know. How do I know that? From scripture. From scripture. When Jesus resurrected, they were able to tell that that was Jesus. If you know the story of Lazarus in the book of Luke, how a man died, Lazarus died, and the Bible says that he went into the he went into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died, and he went into hell. And the rich man was able to see Lazarus when he spoke to Abraham, and he was able to see Abraham. He says, "Let Lazarus send Lazarus so that he will bring me." He thought he was still on earth; he could set other people about. He said that, "Let Lazarus get me water to drink." So he was still able to identify Lazarus, and so. In the afterlife, we can still identify ourselves. When I meet you, I will know that it is you. And so let this be the foundation of our faith. That as Christians, this is not the only life that we have. Let's not only prepare and save money for when our old age, when we get old, but let's also save for the afterlife. Because in the afterlife, our good works count. Our good works count. And so let our lives be filled with good works. We are going to resurrect again. And that resurrection, the Bible says, the unjust or the unbelievers are also going to resurrect unto condemnation. However, the believers are going to resurrect unto life. And so let's take our faith. Let's take our faith seriously. Let's not neglect our faith. Let's not treat it as something that is without value. But let us know that there is going to be a resurrection. And when we resurrect as believers, we are going to have life. Amen. Shall we bow down our heads for a word of prayer? First of all, let's just thank God that there is going to be a resurrection. Let's just thank Him. That one day we are going to be raised back to life. That one day we are going to see all our loved ones. We're going to see them again. The people we have lost, we're going to see them again. And death will be dealt with. Death will have no power again over us. The power of death will be lost over all of us. There will not be pain. There will not be sickness anymore. It will all be over. Let's just thank God for the resurrection. This life is not the only life that we have.